Thank you, Becky. I had asked Becky to go over that because we all need to know where we are in the world of social media. You know, I know where I am, and you don't want to know about that. That's way, I'm in the dark, but I'm happy. And I constantly and always have encouraged our young people and the up-and-coming generation and this generation. I encourage our young people to stay up with this stuff because that's where the world is at. You need to stay up with it all you can. And everything that's out there needs to be used for the glory of God. Everything. Everything out there needs to be used for the glory of God. And that is our purpose in trying to stay current on social media. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I want to thank you for coming today. If you're a visitor, we appreciate you coming. We believe you did the right thing. And believe me, we have so many ways you're going to like something. So just focus on that. And I want to ask the Lord's blessing on what I'm about to share. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you, sir, for being so awesome. And Lord, I thank you for this lovely people that have gathered here today. Lord, we're here today to glorify your name, to bless you. Lord, we really do want to be a blessing to you. And we know, sir, and acknowledge that you are very much a blessing to us. And we just pray that that blessing continue to roll in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I feel, I have to be careful what I say because I don't want to bring anybody down or make you think I'm all beat up or anything because I'm not. But I feel so unworthy today. And I think it has something to do with the theme. And it's like, who am I to even talk about this precious thing? We're going to talk about Jesus. I think we take it for granted sometimes, you know. Jesus this, Jesus that, you know. Sometimes we would even use it in vain, so to speak, as practically a curse word, God forbid. But we use the name Jesus sometimes so loosely and irreverently. When, think of it this way. God knows all the names on earth. And he knows all the names in heaven. And there must be at least a trillion. And out of all those names, he chose one to be the name of his son. His favorite name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we honor that name today. But if you get our newsletter and last month's newsletter, which is mostly about missions rather than the church here, I did a front, what we call a first page message, and I did it on Jesus being the main event. Maybe some of you have already read that, or has it went out yet? Anyway, yeah, it did. Jesus really is the main event. I mean, when you look at the Bible, Jesus was the main event that God wanted to present to the world. And there's reasons for that. And we're going to see some of those reasons today as we move along. But referring back to the newsletter that I did a few days ago, I found that in Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author, he's the finisher. That means he starts it, he finishes it. You know, I mean, this is good. How many of you, your mom, your dad said, don't start something you can't finish? Go on, we've heard that, right? Well, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's just good news. Revelation 1:4, he is, he was, and he is to come. Revelation 1:8, he's Alpha, Omega, beginning, ending, is, was, is to come. Revelation 1:11, he's Alpha, Omega, first and last. Revelation 1:18, he lived, he died, is alive. Revelation 2:8, he's Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Revelation 21:6, Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. Revelation 22:13, Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, first, last. Isaiah 9:6, he's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is the main event. And you wonder, well, why does he have all those names? Oh, I'm glad you ask. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. If you're an Old Testament buff, you find names like Jehovah and several different names connected to that. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nishi. The list goes on. And then we have the Latin-based names, El, El Elyon, El Elim, El Shaddai, Yahweh. Heard that? Hebrew, Yahweh. And this is just a small list. Lots of names for God. Lots of names for Jesus. Jesus is Prince of Peace. He's Pearl of Great Price. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. You know, he's the carpenter's son. You know, he's the son of the Virgin Mary. He's Son of God, Son of Man. The list goes on. Why do we have all those names? Here's your answer. Mitch has that many names too. Why? Because when his son says dad, he needs to know who's addressing and who's being addressed and what's behind the name dad. What constitutes the usage of the name dad? When his wife calls him Mitchell, or if she calls it Mitch, two names are two significations, two different, right? His boss calls him, hey, you! At school, they might call him, hey, medic, hey, coach, Mr. Nelson. His mother calls him son, or probably by his whole name. His grandparents call him grandson. How many names you got? Lots. He has lots of names, and he has these names because whoever is addressing him is relating to that name, and he's relating to the name he's being called back to the person that called it. Do you get the drift here? We all have lots of names. Well, God has lots of names. And it's all based on what it's all about. What'd you say? Relationship. I like that. It's based on relationship. My relationship to Barbara has a lot to do with the names I call her. Her attitude and response dictates the relationship she would have back to me. I mean, names. Lots of names. So don't be confused and don't get upset if somebody says, well, God's name is Yahweh. And the other guy says, no, God's name is Jehovah. Yeah, he's grandpa and he's dad and he's father. You see what I'm saying? And so as we pass through this thing today on names, I want you to be patient with us and remember we're all still learning. And it might just be that you'll come up with something by the end of the day that gives you something in your heart that says, you know, I want to call my God Savior, Healer, Friend. Wow. So just hang on for the ride, amen. Now, we don't have this on the board because I messed up in my notes that I gave to our computer operator, but in Psalms 138:2, I want to read this to you out of the Amplified Version. If you have a Bible, look at Psalms 138, verse 2. The psalmist here says, I'll worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and for your truth and your faithfulness. For you, Lord, have exalted above all else, your name and your word. And you have magnified your word above all your name. We talk about all the names, and all of a sudden we see here that his word is actually above the names, higher category, more respect, more power, more authority, his word. And so you go, ooh, maybe I better not touch that. It's holy. Well, that's not the word he's talking about. This contains many of his words, yes. But the word he's talking about here is found in John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1, first five verses. Let's look at that on the board. In the beginning, whenever that was, in the beginning was what? The Word. And the Word was what? With God, and the Word was God. That's very, yeah, we use this in a lot of sermons. He was in the beginning, he the Word, I should say. He the Word was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, made through the Word. Without him, without the Word, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We're not in the darkness. We can begin to comprehend these things. But his Word, his Word's always been there. His Word was his creative force, his creative power, his creative nature. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, and God spoke the light into being. He spoke the separation of land and water. He spoke in the birds of the air. He spoke for the fish of the sea. He spoke. His Word was creative and expressive. And his word is exalted even above his name. Now his word has great power, creative power. His word has always been with him. If his word hadn't have been with him, he would have been very quiet. Oh, that's a joke. It's not a joke. It's just something to smile about. Now, if you look at down a few verses to verse 14, we're going to look at something that's really scary if you study it. So don't study it too far. And the Word became, the what? The Word. Became what? Human. No, he didn't say that, did it? The Word became man. Did he say that? No. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh. Now this, hang on to your hat. This was blasphemy to the Jewish people. Because they held the Word of God in the greatest of awe. And John comes along and says, this Word that you hold in the greatest of awe, in the greatest of respect, in the greatest of power, in the greatest of authority, this Word became carnal. Because the word flesh here, any way you define it, any way you break it down into the original language, it means meat. And carnality, and carnal, and incarnate. And so the Jewish people are saying, you're saying that the word that we have held so precious has become meat, has become carnal? You know, they didn't like people like John. They didn't like people like Jesus because he considered himself one with God, knowing that he came from God. That's why they killed him. Interesting. The word became flesh. And I can just hear the religious people of the day saying, John, you can't put it that way. You can't say that. You can't preach that. John, hold on a minute. The Word of God, the creative power of God, cannot become flesh. Because flesh is carnality. Flesh is corruptible. Well, the Word of God can't be corruptible. How can you say the Word became flesh? Because flesh is corruptible. It's temporary. It's changeable. It's carnal. It's subject to sin. Flesh is dirty. This is, you know, things like this is why Jesus and his apostles were always in trouble with the religious people. But there's a reason why Jesus became flesh. Because he was sent to pay the penalty for all of our sins. In John 1:29, I don't have this on the list up, but it says John the Baptist is about to baptize Jesus in the River Jordan, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world." He didn't come just to wash our sins away. We use that term a lot, but it's only, you know, it's not the whole story. It's a partial truth. Yes, he came to wash our sins away. He came to cleanse us from sin. He came to pay the penalty of our sin. Yeah, yeah. But the whole story, the big picture is, he came to take the sin away. Now that's good news. That means when the devil comes along and says, "Do you remember when you, you think you're so righteous? You remember when you, if that was in the realm of sin, you can say to the devil, "Hey, that doesn't exist. I don't know what you're talking about. That doesn't exist. I talked to God about it. He said, I don't remember that." You say, "God, don't you remember?" He said, "No. Because that was in the sin realm and I took all the sin away." You need to say, "Thank God Jesus took my sin away." Oh, hallelujah. He didn't just clean us up. He got rid of the problem. And he did it through Jesus, the Word, who became flesh. It's amazing. These things, our natural mind's trying to wrap around all this. And it's like, get what you can and chew on the rest of it for later. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. We're going through some pretty popular scriptures today. You've all heard most of us preach these time and again. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's talking about God and Jesus here. "For he," God, "made him," Jesus, "who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, Jesus." Jesus didn't sin. He was never a sinner. But he was made to be sin when he received the sin unto himself so that we could be free. God says, "My children have sinned. They have separated themselves from me by sin." And Jesus says, "I want to make that right. Put their sin on me." And God the Father, in his sovereign wisdom that we just have so little understanding of, he took all of our sin and put it on Jesus. Jesus was made to be sin, even though he wasn't the author of sin. He wasn't the participator of sin. Jesus didn't do the sin. I did. And God took my sin and put it on Jesus, and Jesus accepted that and became sin in my behalf. Boy, he's a good God. Man, he's a good God. So merciful. Look at Romans 8:3. Here it is. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son." Watch this right in the middle of it. God sending his own son in what? The likeness of sinful flesh. And on account of the sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. God didn't send his son as a sinner. He sent him in the likeness of sin. He sent him in the flesh, which is the carne, the likeness of sin. Jesus got all dirty so we could be clean. He got all dirty, Mitch, on purpose. Dirtied with my sin and yours so that we could be free from it. Ladies and gentlemen, God loves you a lot. Look at Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why did he hang on that tree, on that cross? Because he was cursed with sin. Now, he didn't do the sin. Who did? Me and you. Wow. He became a curse for us. He is good. Man, he's good. Let's go to the next verse. Hebrews 9:28. So, Christ was offered once, offered on the cross, offered once to bear the sins of many. And to those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. He came the first time to be sin in our behalf. He's coming the second time apart from sin. It's all going to be about salvation because the sin problem has been dealt with. And the next step is salvation. That's good news. That's good news. He was offered to bear the sin. He bore the sin. He put it on himself. You know, if I bear a load, the load's on me, right? Huh? Well, he bore the load of sin for you and me. I don't have to carry it. The devil wants me to carry it. He loves to play with my memory and try to get me to carry my sin. But Jesus carried my sins for me. So I can be free to dance. Look at Philippians 2:9. Philippians 2:9 through 11, I believe it is. Did I have that on the lineup? Did I have Philippians? I did. Therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus, him is Jesus here. God has highly exalted him and given him, given Jesus, the name which is above every name. Remember I told you God's favorite name was Jesus? There it is right there. Let's read the next verse, verse 10. We'll read 10 and 11. Okay, and that's that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is he's number one, guys. He's number one. Any way you want to look at it, he's number one. It's like I finished a little newsletter that I mentioned and was reading Alpha and Omega. I finished that letter with my ending salutation was, you know, that all people, they're going to look at us and say, all they ever think about is Jesus. There's a reason for that. Because Jesus to us has become everything we would ever want to think about. He's my everything, Mitch. I mean, he's my everything. And I want him to be your everything. Oh, my goodness. Like Father, like Son. John 1:18, let's go through some scriptures in John. John 1:18, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He, the Son, has declared him God. It's interesting. Man has always wanted to see God. He's always wanted to visualize what God looks like. And so he builds images out of wood and stone and plastic. Why do they do this? Because they want to see what God looks like. If there's something in us that's craving to see what God looks like. It's always been there. For the eons past, it's always been there. Man wants to know what God's all about. Have you ever noticed that in man's search for a better life, the beginning of life, the beginning of creation, or the beginning of time, or the Big Bang, or anything that's connected to that, they can't find God on earth, so they point all of their instruments, you know, their superscopes, and all their instruments are pointed away from the earth. When he's here all the time. In the form of Jesus. Man always wanted to know what God looks like, and they don't recognize Jesus. The first scripture we read said that he was came to the darkness and the light. You know, he came as a light in darkness, and the darkness didn't comprehend. They didn't get it. And so the darkness can't see Jesus, and so they put all their instruments out there in outer space somewhere trying to find God, trying to find the Creator, trying to find who started all this. Who pushed the button on the Big Bang? I mean, you know, you got all this stuff. Well, if they turn their instruments back towards the earth and look at Jesus, they'd get all the answers. John 5. We're going to read 19 through 27. That'll take a while. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he has shown him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." The Father has given all this to the Son. He's saying, you want to see me? Look at Jesus. You want to see my authority? I look at the authority I gave Jesus. You want to see my power? Look at the power I gave Jesus. You want to see my life-giving nature? My life-giving character? Look at Jesus. He's got it. God couldn't show us himself or we would have exploded into a crisp. Psst. How do you explode into a crisp? I mean, the light of God is so awesome. He couldn't express himself as the God of creation, but he could take his word and bring it to us in the form of Jesus and say, here's what I look like. You wonder what God looks like? He looks like Jesus. We're going to prove that by scripture here in just a minute. Where are we? John 6, 46. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. We're talking about God and Jesus here. Jesus has seen the Father. Look at Matthew 17, 5. I love this scripture. This is when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And he said, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him!" I got all excited when I read that. How many of us are looking for God one way or the other? We're looking for God. At some point in our life, past, present, or future, we're looking for God. What God's saying, there's Jesus. Look at him. Hear him. Check him out. You want to find me? There he is. And there I am. In him. hear him, those two words just resonate in my spirit. Here's Jesus. Hear him. Fun. I think it's fun. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, the disciples. He said, all authority. How much? All authority has been given unto me. Where? In heaven and on earth. Who has all the authority? Jesus. Now, we could say, who gave it to him? God. Let's move on. 1 Timothy 2:5. This will tell us how to find God. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men. Now, who's the mediator? The man, Jesus Christ. A mediator is that go-between. He's that connector. There's only one mediator. There's only one person that can really speak to God in your behalf. I can pray, you can pray, we can pray, and that, you know, that's good. We need to do that. That's all part of the program. But when it comes to someone really speaking for me to save me from hell, Jesus is the one that speaks for me and says, Father, remember, I took their sin away from them. It doesn't exist anymore. Father, I took the punishment for their sin. They don't have to be punished. Let them go. Ooh. When somebody comes to the judge of the universe and they're talking about your sin or mine, and then Jesus walks in the scene and says, hey, wait a minute. It's a done deal. Let them go. I took care of that sin problem that was plaguing them and sending them to hell. I took care of that. Let them go. We should dance more. And we should shout more. And we should be happy more. Because we can go. I've never been in jail. I used to put people in jail years ago. I had that part of my resume, but I never was forced to be in jail like some of you. You can be proud because they let you go. But there's just something nice about being free. I can only imagine, had I been forced to go to jail, what it would be like to be free. Some of you guys could tell us, you know, the story. Now I've embarrassed myself. John 14, 8 and 9. Let's look at that. Philip was one of the disciples. Philip says to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. And it's sufficient for us. You know, Lord, we just want to see the Father. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long? Yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Philip, hello? You want to see the Father? Who do you look for? Jesus. Now I want to read, can you do Hebrews 1, the first three verses in the Amplified? Is that possible? Good. We have the smartest computer girl. Hi, Andrea, you're the computer girl, right? Hebrews chapter 1, first three verses in the Amplified version. You're going to love this. Oh, isn't it nice? Uh-huh. Okay, are you ready for this? Watch this. In many separate revelations, each of which was set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in the last of these days, God, he has spoken to us, how? In the person of a son. How's God speaking to us today? He speaks his word through his son, whom he has appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds. and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made and produced and built and operated and arranged them in order. And he, talking about Jesus, Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God. He is the light being, the outraying or radiance of the divine. Oh, think about these words. Jesus is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Now watch this about Jesus. He's upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. His word that was exalted even above his name. And when he, Jesus, had by offering himself accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, and then he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. This is the most beautiful picture of Jesus I have ever found in the Bible. It is to me. It is to me. Mitch, Jesus is the express image of God. So turn your power scopes that are out there looking for life on other planets and in other galaxies. Turn those scopes back towards Earth and look for Jesus, and you'll find everything you need to know. Here's a few little things that I wrote down about my own personal favorites on who Jesus is. He's the pearl of great price. I just love that. He's the rock of ages. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the bright and morning star. You know, out where I live, I get to see the bright and morning star a lot. I just love it. It's the planet Venus. But it's just so bright and brilliant and so there so much of the time. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the door to the Father. He's the good shepherd. Something about that is soothing. He's the lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. He's the lion of Judah. As the word of God, according to Ephesians 6, he's the sword of the Spirit. Everybody say, Jesus is everything I need. Now, are you sitting down? Fasten your seatbelt. I did a little research, and I found 233 names for God and or Jesus in the Bible. And that is an incomplete list. Not only am I dad, husband, honey, Calvin Lee, but I have a Jesus who has at least 233 names. Isn't that awesome? Every one of his names says something about his nature, his character, and his relationship to you. So don't get all religious. And you can plug your ears when someone else gets all religious and starts telling you who to call God or what to call God or what names to use. It's a big world. You need to call God based on your relationship with him. Like sometimes when I'm looking for God, you know what I call it? Help me! God, you got to do something. That's one of his names. That's one of his names. He hears that. He hears that call for help in that name and in your expression and in that relationship of somebody that needs help. Hallelujah. He's so good to us, isn't he? Isn't he just so good? I was thinking about the pearl of great price. I think we've probably all watched the Discovery Channel enough to know that a pearl is created, it's formed inside the oyster because of a foreign particle of sand or any other foreign particle that got inside that oyster. And it's like the oyster automatically starts building this thing around that foreign particle, and it becomes, over time, a beautiful pearl. And it's like Jesus was kind of that way with me. It's like he was the foreign particle that got in my oyster. And with some of my first encounters with the Lord and with his call on my life, I was irritated. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to hear him say that. I didn't want to hear him call me in that way. I just wasn't comfortable with all this that I was hearing about Jesus and from Jesus. I was irritated. But you know, over time, that irritation has turned into my pearl of great price. And I see what Jesus has done in my life now, and I'm all excited. I have a pearl. I have a one-of-a-kind, beautiful, perfect pearl because Jesus formed this thing over my irritation and made things right and beautiful. Just a thought. It's okay to think, right? I would like for you to stand to your feet in honor of the Lord, and we're going to pray. If you feel like there's an empty spot in your soul, Jesus wants to fill that up today. If you feel like there's an irritation in your soul, just because maybe of what you've heard today, and it's like, well, I don't get it, I don't want it, I don't like it, you know, that's not for me. That irritation, if you'll just soften a little bit, that irritation will turn into a pearl. And so however you feel about the Word of God that you've seen and heard today, I want you to just kind of kick over into neutral and say, Lord, you know, if you got something for me, God, go ahead. Just release yourself to Him. Say, God, whatever you want. You know, most of us have done things our own way too long, and we need to turn things over to God. After all, we're talking about God here. He does know best. So in your own personal way, I want you to just begin to say yes to God. If you don't like it, you can take it back later. But you're going to like it, I guarantee. But He won't force Himself upon you. If you want to reject God, that's your business, and He'll let you. Not that you would ever want to, but that option is there. You're not in a trap. When you say yes to God, you're not in a trap. When you say yes to God, you're opening the door for Him to make things right in your life. Come on, guys, we need that. We need things made right in our life. Don't tell me you're perfect. Nobody's perfect. We need all the help we can get, and God's the only one that can help some of the messes we find ourselves in. Just release yourself to God today. You'll never regret it. And in your own personal individual prayer, I just want you to say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I don't get it. I don't understand it all, but here I am. I'm willing to try anything once. You know, any way you need to approach this, any way you need to approach it, just chill out and say yes to God and watch what happens. Precious Heavenly Father, we've seen Your Word today, and we've seen by Your Word how You have given us Jesus that we might know You, Lord. Father, You've given us Jesus that we might see You, that we might hear You, that we might understand more about You. You gave us Jesus so we would know our Creator. And Lord, we thank You for that. And Lord, we just take this opportunity to say, yes, Lord. We confess that Jesus is Lord of my life. And we confess that we need help in allowing Him to be Lord of my life. Jesus, here I am. Jesus, I'll never see God. He's too bright. He's too great. He's too. I just can't see God. But Jesus, I believe I could see you somehow, some way. You came to earth. You were a man walking on the seas of Galilee. I can see that. And Lord, if I have to see you to find God, then so be it. So I just accept that. And I say, okay, Jesus, show me the way. Okay, Jesus, be my mediator. Okay, Jesus, be the door to the Father. Okay, Jesus, be my way. Be my road. Be my life. Be my truth. Be whatever you need to be to help me make things right with God. Jesus, I need you. I accept you. Jesus, I appreciate what you're trying to do for me, and I just release myself to that. I release myself to that because I want to get things right. Jesus, your word said that you carry the load, you carry the guilt, you carry the shame, you carry my sin. So I just give that to you. If you want it, you can have it. I'm tired of carrying it. And oh, in his mercy, friend, in his mercy, he will take your load. He'll take your load. Whether it's guilt or shame or troubled waters in your soul, he'll take the load. Just go ahead and give it to him. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be willing to turn it all over to him. And he will begin to make things right like no one else can do. Lord, we love you. We need you. Lord, I pray that what we've spoken today will touch all of our hearts. That the word that we've seen and heard today will touch our hearts. That you will become more real to us than you ever have before. Help us, Jesus. Precious Jesus, we acknowledge our need for you. And we acknowledge your desire to help us. And in your name, we pray. Amen. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find about 50 people and be real nice to them. And then have the best week you ever had. We love you and we appreciate your participation in this service. Bless you.